Thanks, Paul, for reading out the scripture before. Tonight's all about running the race. That's what we're going to be focusing on. And I don't know about you, but it seems to be the Olympics is everywhere at the minute, is that? Everywhere you seem to read, there's a lot about the Olympics. Did anybody get any tickets? One, two. I don't think there is any tickets, do you? I applied. I know loads of people who did. I don't know if anybody got any. But I'm excited about the Olympics coming. I grew up in a generation of Steve Cram and Daley Thompson and others. In fact, do you ever get that moment when you kind of realise how old you're getting? I'm not old. I'm still only 31. But I realised about a month ago at the Lighthouse Group, we have an intern programme. So guys who are generally graduate age come and spend a year with TLG, give up a huge part of their life to do that. And I made reference to Daley Thompson, and I just got this face, this blank face is just looking at me of just like, who is Daley Thompson? So that was like, I've reached that age now where I'm not as young as I thought I was. But the scripture Paul shared, I like that scripture a lot. There's a lot of different passages in the Bible, but I really like the analogy. Whenever there's an analogy about the body, anything like that, but particularly the one about running the race. One, because I enjoy running, so I can kind of link to that quite easily, and it's quite easy for me to get my head around it. But I think it's just a simple analogy of kind of what the Christian life is like and how it describes actually our Christian life and walk is like a race. I've got two things I want to kind of pick out of that passage tonight. And the first thing that I want to talk about is inspiration, okay? So that's the first thing I want to draw of it. Now, I've got some props to help me. I've got my gym bag. Yeah, my gym bag normally doesn't look like this, by the way. This is the bag that we brought with us. My gym bag's much more manly than this. But I need two volunteers to illustrate my point of inspiration. So you're going to have to... I need some people, otherwise I'm going to have to start picking people. It's the last thing you want on a Sunday night, isn't it, really, to be picked? Tim Molden, give him a round of applause. I need another volunteer. They can have the easier. Ellen, looking good. Ellen's there. Britt, come on up. Round of applause for Ellen. Right. Now, this is a little bit, if you want to stand this side, Ellen, this is going to be a little bit feeble attempt because I had to muster some of this stuff together last minute. You've got to guess what it represents, okay? So if you can hold that. Okay, that's all you've got to do is hold that there like that, okay? Now, Tim, you've got the fun bit. In my kit bag, some things you're going to need to put on. Some shorts. I think they're Belgium shorts, actually, aren't they? Obviously over the top of your clothes. Hey, well done. I didn't say anything. There's a running vest there. It's one of Louise's old ones, but that's okay. It's clean. I won't use the dicky bow. That's a bit excessive. What else have we got? I said you got the easy bit. Got a hat. Might get a little bit warm, but I won't keep you in it for long. Got some gloves. And then the last, the piece de resistance, the sunglasses. Now look at that, a specimen of a runner if ever I've seen one. Now you've got to try and guess what this represents. Can anybody guess what this is? Thinking running, marathon running particularly. And actually that should be red. It's a Kenyan flag.
Last time Kenya won the World Cup.
Yep, well... It's the Kenyans that are running, because they always win, don't they? Generally, the Kenyans are the best. So it's the people who are out the front winning. Tim, what's Tim representing? So well dressed and represented. I'd have got him an outfit if I could. It's those people who dress up in fancy costumes and do the sponsored run type thing. I know it's weak, but I couldn't get a costume, so that's the best we could get. Okay? So you got the Kenyan runners and the people who are dressing up in the fancy dress stuff. So thank you to you guys. That's your part done. Thank you for that. It's just a chance to get you dressed up. Thank you, Ellen. You can keep that if you want. We got, I think there's a slide just to go with this. I don't know if you can see that. So what I so feebly had Tim dressed up as, because I couldn't get a better costume, was the people who do the sponsored events, or in another way that I couldn't represent very well, was the overcomers. Whenever you see a marathon race, there's always two types of people that inspire me. There's those at the front, those guys who run it in like, they're doing like 2 hours or something ridiculous, don't they? 3 hours or whatever it is. And then there's the guys, but there's this other group that really inspire me, the guys, I'm calling those that actually have to overcome great things when they're running. So up here, we've got a couple of people. Top left, so Eddie Izzard, did anybody see when he ran around the UK for Comic Relief? Just amazing feat, just actually going out and running and doing what he did, starting so way back. Danny Wallace, who's an ex-footballer who had MS and took him 7 or 8 days to actually walk around the marathon. Amazing feat. The guy here, the soldier, I'm not sure if I've got his name. Where are we? I know his first name was, I think it was Lloyd Scott, who had been injured during the war and actually took him, I think again it was 7 or 9 days to just get around the course after losing feeling in his legs. The diver man, again, I don't know how long it took him, and the snail man took weeks and weeks. So I guess my question is, who do you think ran the better race? Do you think it's the Kenyans at the front who did it in 2 hours, or the guys at the back? What do we think? Kenyans, yeah. Anybody else ran the race better? I don't know how to answer that. I don't know who ran the race better. I guess faster, the Kenyans, definitely. But who ran it better? I don't know. Sorry? Yeah, maybe those that finished ran it better. And actually, I think that's the point. I don't think it matters where you started, but the fact that you finish the race is the important thing, isn't it? But actually, sometimes where we start from makes a massive difference to how we run it. So I think of this to people I know and being inspired. Like I said, sometimes maybe we're just inspired by the guys with the Kenyans out at the front and running hard. Maybe it's those at the back. But I can think of two people to illustrate this point. I can think of a lady called Maggie that I know who is in Ethiopia working out there with a charity called Retrack with street kids. She's been there for years and she's just given her life to the project and to the kids out there and is one of those Christians. You know, when you ask who inspires you, she's one of those people that really inspires me to carry on and to run the race better. Sometimes I look at that and I forget about the people at the back. So I think of people like Anthony that Louise mentioned earlier. On the face of things, if we were comparing the two from face value of how they're running the race as Christians and looking at it face value, actually we might say Anthony isn't anywhere and he's struggling and limping along. But actually if we look at where he started from, actually he's way down on his journey. Actually, I'm inspired by Maggie, but I'm inspired by Anthony just as much. So a kid who Louise said came from one of the roughest estates in Bradford. I don't know if anybody saw a documentary of, I think he was growing up in poverty or something like that, the focus on an estate in Bradford. He comes from there. No absent father, kind of abuse in the home, all the stuff we've mentioned earlier. But man, he inspires me. He really does. When I think of this walk, few weeks ago, he was telling us that he prayed. He had no food in his house and prayed for food because he didn't have any. And then somebody dropped some food off for him. And then he was able to, somebody else lent him some money to be able to buy some fish and chips that night. Man, that's inspiring. I don't think I do that. I don't know sometimes I forget to say grace when I'm eating. But actually, somebody on face value who we see at church who maybe doesn't use the right language, struggling in getting a job, he smokes, he isn't kind of the archetypal Christian and he's not where he's going to be, but we know he's moving along on that journey, actually really inspires. And I guess there's people in our families, in church here, that fit into that category. And I know there's people here who fit into that category of the Kenyans who are running fast, and we should all be inspired by that. Don't think we put each other on pedestals and that's our example, because Christ is our example, but actually to run the race that we know is hard, we've got to be inspired by everybody around us. And then my second point, it's a bit of a strange one, but it's something called splachnitzimai. Does anybody know what splachnitzimai means? It's not a German striker, then for Germany. It's a Greek word. Does anybody know what it means? I did Greek when I was at Bible college in Lancaster, and I was absolutely appalling at it, and this was the only word I actually learned. Actually, tell a lie, koinonia, which is fellowship, apparently, so we're having koinonia. With splachnitzimai, which means compassion. So it's a Greek word, New Testament it's used. So whenever it talks about Jesus and having compassion on people, this word is used. So actually, it talks about compassion that comes from the gut, from the bowels. You know when you feel really compelled, you have a lot of compassion? It actually isn't from here, is it? It's something in here and gets you here. And I guess it changed in times went by. It probably didn't look too good on Valentine's cards, did it? And you wanted a heart on there. But it's about this compassion. And you read it like Jesus when he's talking with the blind guys who come to him and he heals them. He has splachnitzimai on them. He has compassion on them. When he's talking to the woman who's bleeding, he has compassion on her, he has splachnitzimai. It's a bit strange, but I think if we're going to run this race that was read about earlier, that Paul talks about, actually we need to have compassion. It's not about running it fastest, it's about running it well. And to run it well, we need compassion. The greatest commandment that God gives is in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So actually, to run the race well, we need to love God with all our heart, all our soul. Excuse me, and the second is to love your neighbour as yourself. It's quite hard to love people if you haven't got compassion, isn't it? I find some people you can maybe love, but actually sometimes love is really hard sometimes, particularly those that it's tough to love, those in your family, those in your community, or those people you come across. It can be really tough, and I think that's where we need compassion. An example that Louise was talking about earlier about the cell group that we do. Again, if I'm honest, every Thursday we have cell group. Some Thursdays I'm okay, I'm up for it. Some Thursdays, it's the last thing in the world I really want to do. When you've had a hard day, you've got the kids come in. Some are hyperactive to the extreme. Some are coming with the problems, and you've just got your own issues, haven't you? And I guess that's like that for a lot of us, isn't it? That actually the stuff that you're doing, maybe in your community, you're doing in church, whether you're leading Little Rascals or you're doing Spectrum or whatever it is, actually sometimes you just need that compassion, don't you? You just need that bit more to get you through, and it's tough. It just isn't easy. But again, I'm going to read from Matthew 14. It says, Matthew 14, 6 to 14. This is Jesus as our example. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guests and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion. He had splachnitzimai on them and healed their sick. I think we always think that actually it's easy when we see Jesus and we read about him. Actually, we think it's just because he's Jesus, because he's God, it's just easy to do stuff. Actually, we read here, he withdrew to a solitary place. Actually, it was tough. One of his friends had just been beheaded and was going through a tough time. Actually, that's our example, isn't it? That sometimes it is tough to give compassion. We know we need to know when to withdraw and to be on our own and to go to God. But sometimes, actually, it just cuts across our agenda, doesn't it? It doesn't just happen just nicely when we want it to. And actually, it demands a response. Every time Jesus has splachnitzimai in people, he doesn't say, that's very nice, leave you to it, pass on by. Actually, whenever he has that compassion, he does something about it. He has a response. There's a guy, we're just going to watch a final clip just before we close. There's a guy called Rick Hoyt. I guess there's a modern version of summing up what I'm trying to say, who has compassion for his son. I'll read his story, but it's about the compassion he has for him, and actually he had to do something about it. And we'll watch the clip, and then we'll come to close. It says, Dick and Judy soon knew that Rick would never be able to walk or speak as a result of oxygen deprived to Rick's brain at the time of his birth. Dick and Judy were advised to institutionalise Rick because there's no chance of him recovering and little hope for Rick to live a normal life. However, he was quite astute and his eyes would follow them around the room. They fought to integrate Rick into the public school system, pushing administrators to see beyond Rick's physical limitations. Dick and Judy would take Rick sledding and swimming and even taught him the alphabet and basic words like any other child. After providing concrete evidence of Rick's intellect and ability to learn like everyone else, Dick and Judy needed to find a way to help Rick communicate for himself. So in the spring of 1977, Rick told his father he wanted to participate in a 5-mile benefit run for a lacrosse player who had been paralysed in an accident. Far from being a long-distance runner, Dick agreed to push Rick in his wheelchair and they finished all 5 miles, coming in next to last. That night, Rick told his father, Dad, when I'm running, it feels like I'm not handicapped. This realisation was just the beginning of what would become over 1,000 races completed, including marathons, duathlons and triathlons, 6 of them being Ironman competitions. So we're just going to watch the clip.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. We'll be right back. yes, forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Did well if you didn't cry at that one. The interesting thing, I think, about that is that we watched that about the compassion that he had for his son and he had to do something about it. But actually, what did Rick, who was in the wheelchair, do for his dad? It said he didn't do much except save his life. Because 2 years ago, Dick had a mild heart attack during one of the races. And the doctors found out that one of his arteries was 95% clogged. If you hadn't been in such a great shape, one doctor told him, he probably would have died 15 years ago. So isn't it funny sometimes, actually, we think giving the compassion that actually we're the one doing the difference, but sometimes actually it's God putting situations in our place to change us and save us. I think actually as much as the receiver needs the compassion, we need to give it as well, don't we? And we need to respond to it. I guess you can only run, or we can only run our race, can't we? Our own race. People have to choose the races they're going to run. But like we said earlier, there's a difference between running fast and a difference between getting the prize. If we're going to run that race well, we need to follow the greatest commandment of love God with all our heart and love others. And that is surely about showing compassion to those that God puts in our way. So I guess on everything we've said tonight, saying about compassion and demanding a response, I guess from the challenge as we close now is, are the things in your family, are the people that you work with, are the people, is there projects involved in here at church that we know we need to show compassion, people in our neighbourhood? Or is there anything we've said about tonight about TLG and compassion for the kids that we've mentioned, or do you need to respond in some way in that, like Louise was sharing about, whether that is volunteering, whether that's praying or helping with resources? So I guess that's our challenge as we leave here tonight. Have we got one more song, Paul, or is it? So I'll just pray before the final song and then close with that. Yeah, Lord, just thank you that you are a God of mercy, God of justice, that you are a God of relationships, that you give us one another to inspire one another, to encourage one another, to have compassion on one another. And I just pray that as we leave here tonight, that actually we think through some of that stuff and we respond to what you're asking us to do, that we are sensitive to what you're saying to us and how you're speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen.